Pastor Dave. Sunday morning. The 10th of December, 2023. Psalm 72, verse 1 to verse 14.
Well, this is nice, isn't it? This is nice, isn't it? We've got these lovely carols and the wonderful music, and we enjoy the decorations and the tree, and it's all very nice. And I'll just say a few words, and we can all be on our way, and we'll be safe and a bit more Christmassy and cozy for another year. But I want to interrupt that nice for a moment, because I want to share with you a secret. And it's a secret, especially for those of you who are guests or visiting us this morning. And the secret is this. Whoever invited you, your friends or your neighbors or your family, they did not invite you here because they thought it would be nice. And we didn't put the posters up on Facebook and cards because we thought it would be nice. And the big secret is this, that we run a carol service and you've been invited to a carol service so that we can speak to you about Jesus. And your friends and your family and your neighbors, they invited you because what they long for you more than anything in the world is that you would know Jesus Christ. Really, personally, truly. Or perhaps if you do know him and you've joined us and you would say you're Christian, that you would know him and love him better. Why is this? It's because your friends, they love you. And they long for what is the best thing for you this Christmas. And to know Jesus Christ, to know him personally, to have a relationship with him, is the most important and wonderful thing that you could possibly imagine. And that is what we long for you. Now, that's not a big secret, is it? Well, big secret, Jesus, important at Christmas. But we don't mean important in the sense that family is important, or serving in your community is important, or being united is important. We mean that the reality of Jesus Christ is important enough to live and die for. The man who has shaped the world as we know it and gives us every breath that we take. The Son of God, the Word became flesh. Now, maybe what you're used to at this point is a lovely, heartwarming story about a baby, and we crack a few jokes about donkeys and presents, and we'll go home and it would be nice. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to insult your intelligence or waste your time by pretending that this is trivial. That either Jesus Christ is the most important person who has ever lived, or he is nothing. And that's why I had us read Psalm 72 earlier in the service. You'll find a copy in the song sheet, but if not, it's on the screen. But what is Psalm 72? It was written several hundred years before Jesus was born. And it describes the rule of a king. And yet, as you read through it, you realize that this is no ordinary king. This is the greatest and most wonderful king that you could possibly imagine. The sort of king, and you read it, and the sort of kingdom, and there is an ache within us that this would be true. That there would indeed be a king who brings true justice. Do we not look around the world and long for justice? A king who brings rescue. And a king who brings hope. And you read through the psalm and you think no mere human being could ever do this. That this king could only be the Lord Jesus, the Word became flesh. And as we think about it then, I want us just to focus on a couple of verses as we go through it that kind of explode this idea of niceness and replace it with something so much deeper. So firstly, let me read to you again verse 6. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. Now this is kind of hard this time of year, but I want you to imagine back not to this summer, that we had quite a nice summer. I want you to imagine back to summer the previous year. Do you remember those years, those weeks where it was kind of 30s or even 40 degrees and the baking heat of the sun and the ground, and it gets like that around here. The ground is absolutely rock hard and thirsting desperately for rain. Do you ever feel like that's your life? Rock hard, dry, parched, thirsting desperately for something more. And then the rains come. The clouds burst and there's a shower of incredibly refreshing rain upon the baked earth. And do you remember the smell you get with rain on a summer's day? That kind of sweet smell of rain on hot soil. And you've been invited here because we believe that Jesus is that sweet, refreshing rain. Can you smell it? Can you imagine it? That is how good the Lord Jesus is for those who love him. And yet there's another couple of verses, aren't there? Verses 8 to 9. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. Now this speaks, doesn't it, of a king with an extensive kingdom, a kingdom that stretches across the world. But I want us just to focus on that one image. That his enemies shall lick the dust. Just think about that for a moment. That it is a horrific image of utter humiliation. That to stand against this king is to risk devastation. This is no helpless child in a manger. And we don't want to soften this. We cannot take away its warning. Of course, it is graphic kind of picture language, but it describes reality, that to stand against this king is to risk utter ruin. And I know that that is not nice. Maybe that wasn't what you wanted when you came to a carol service this morning. But both I and your friends would want me to tell you this. Because it says you cannot reject or ignore the Lord Jesus with impunity. The Bible promises these wonderful promises for those who would accept him, like refreshing rain on a summer's day. And yet to reject him is this warning of licking the dust. And friends, to sideline Jesus, to pass by him, to save him for later, for a time when you're less busy or it seems more pressing, such is to end up rejecting him. That there's this glorious promise of hope and this warning of danger. And I want us to think briefly about these three key realities of who he is. And the first reality is that Jesus is judge. That he is the judge. So lots of you know, we moved to Biddenden from a part of Leeds, the Leeds in Yorkshire, not the Leeds up the road. And it wasn't a particularly nice bit of Leeds. And about, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, I went out of the house, I forget if it was Christmas Day or Boxing Day, and there were a load of police cars just round the corner from us. And we found that there'd been an argument and it had turned ugly. And a man just around the corner from us has been stabbed to death at Christmas, just around the corner. Now, you may think that that is a million miles away from life in a lovely village in rural Kent. And maybe it is. But actually, in the UK as a whole, around 1,600 people die on Christmas Day. And the niceness of Christmas and the tinsel and the candles and the tree, they don't stop the reality, do they? That no matter what people do, no matter what the doctors do, the death rate remains stubbornly at 100% of all of us. And the Bible reality is that each one of us will then face the Lord Jesus as judge. That the child in the manger is the perfect judge. And that choice of either licking the dust at his feet or being welcomed as a friend into his kingdom. That following the Lord Jesus is more than being a good person, more than merely trying your best. That our consciences weigh upon us. And our pasts haunt us when we've not loved God or our neighbor as we should, when our lives are bent out of shape and turned in on ourselves. And we respond to this judge by repenting. And we come and we are sorry for what we've done. And we seek his forgiveness. Because the second and wonderful truth is that Jesus is Savior. He is Savior, that he died upon the cross that we could be saved. That because of what he has done, we can move from licking the dust to being welcomed into the joy of his kingdom. That you and me and every single one of us here can be welcomed by a loving Savior. Do you smell the sweetness of the Lord Jesus, the Savior? And the final truth is that the Jesus is King. This is not just a nice story for the children. It's not just like Father Christmas. It's not something vaguely joyful because it's cold and dark. That the world was put in place by a real and personal God. A God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God sent his glorious Son into the world to be the King of the world. Not merely the King for the Jewish people. Not merely the King around AD 30. But the King of the world, and so the King of me and you. And yet think what a king he is. The king is refreshing and wonderful as rain on a summer's day. A glorious thing to be invited into his kingdom. And yet that means to follow him as king. To obey him, to be baptized. That mere acknowledgement is not following him. It is to devote heart and soul and mind and strength to his agenda and his priorities and his people. And I just want to say a quick word for those of you here who would say that you are a Christian. And I want to ask you a question, you personally. Are these truths about Jesus the defining reality of your life? That the shape of your life, the choices that you make, the decisions you take, are they shaped around Jesus as judge and savior and king? Because if not yet, there may be more to grasp about how glorious and important he is. Look, I know that this is serious. I know that it strikes a lot of the wrong tones at a lovely carol service. But your friends love you and they long for you to hear this. That Jesus is judge and savior and king, and that you repent and believe and be baptized and follow him. And we love this time of year, don't we? We love the lights and the decorations and the carols and everything. We love that you've come to be here with us. Oh, we'd love to welcome you any Sunday. But most of all, we love the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we smell and we taste the refreshing rain on parched soil. And we look forward to Jesus coming back again. Our judge and our savior and our king.